Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America, online, thisweekinamerica.us. Vicki Oliver is an award-winning, best-selling author of books on job hunting and job interview questions, business etiquette, frugalista lifestyle, advertising, and office politics. 5 bestsellers, Bad Bosses, Crazy Coworkers, and Other Office Idiots, a multiple award winner, including the National Best Books Award for Best Business Career Book, 301 Smart Answers to Tough Questions, named in the top 10 list of best books for HR interview prep, 301 Smart Answers to Tough Business Etiquette Questions, Live Like a Millionaire Without Having to Be One, and Power Sales Words, How to Write It, Say It, and Sell It with Sizzle. Known for her spirited seminars on job hunting, networking, and business etiquette, a Brown University graduate with a degree in English honors and a double major in political science, Vicki lives in Manhattan, where she helps others turn around their careers and their lives. Vicki Oliver, our special guest on today's This Week in America. Hi, Vicki. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me. I really, really appreciate it.
I appreciate having you on the program and so much to talk about. I thought we'd focus today on turning bad bosses into inspiring leaders. And that comes about, I read a recent Gallup poll showing that more than two-thirds of American workers are not engaged in their jobs. And I'm wondering if there's any correlation between that lack of engagement and to their boss's poor leadership skills.
I think there is a correlation, because I think that most of us, when we grow up, we don't really learn how to be good bosses, you know?
Yes.
And even if we start our jobs and we have the talent associated for a particular task, like we might learn, be good at research, or we might be good at writing reports, or whatever the tasks are, we don't necessarily learn how to manage other people right. And so I think, you know, we just grow and grow, and then we need to learn management late in the game. You know, we just don't grow up learning how to manage people properly. So I think there's a huge correlation with that, yes.
What happens with management's role in this when they say, you know, this guy is good, this gal is good, we're going to move them in this position that just opened up, we think they'll be able to do it. What is their role in not preparing these people for these leadership roles?
That's a fantastic question. I mean, mentorship these days is sort of dead. I think over the last 20 years, the layers of that used to exist in a lot of companies are gone. And de facto, that means that a lot of mentoring is also gone. I mean, there used to be training programs, and many times those don't exist any longer. And really, a certain skill that got you someplace in the company may not be the thing that you now need to be a great manager of people. And at heart, all businesses are people businesses. That's also something to keep in mind. So a lot of people are just tossed in to higher positions, and they don't really know how to manage the people underneath them or to lead right. So, yes, I can see how there's a lot of dissatisfaction out there.
Vicki Oliver, our guest on the program. By the way, her website is VickiOliver.com. Information on all of her books, and you can order them as well from the website. You can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You recently wrote an article, 7 Tips to Turn Bad Bosses into Inspiring Leaders. And it's interesting as you sort of set these guidelines, and it all comes back to the professional bar and setting that high. Talk a little bit about the importance of that, and then we'll go through some of these tips individually.
Okay. I mean, really, it's a privilege to lead. And I think if more bosses and managers looked at it that way, it's a privilege to lead, that they would stretch a bit further in trying to do it better. It's not simply a matter of how much money you get paid, you know, or what your title is exactly. It's also a privilege to lead. The people that you lead have to want to follow. You know?
Yes.
It's a two-way thing. It's interactive. It's two-way. So if you have suddenly inherited a team of people, let's say you inherited a team of 15 people, you have to persuade them that you can lead them. It's not simply just telling them what to do, you know, which is sort of the 1950s model.
Yes. So be a boss without being bossy is basically what you need to do to be a good
right.
leader.
Right. And I think, you know, part of that, which isn't really on the tip sheet that you received, part of it, I think, is being a good coach, you know, saying, I am going to coach us to greatness, not order you around and expect you to follow me. I'm going to coach you. And I think if people begin looking at team coaches as their model, they will become better bosses.
Interesting you start with share your vision. And when you think about it, if you've achieved a level of leadership where someone thinks you're good enough to be a leader and puts you in that position, you obviously have a passion for that company's mission. And you're talking about being able to share that. Is that a common problem? And it seems so obvious, but I would think it's probably often overlooked that I have this passion. I need to relay that passion to the employees.
Right. I think it's one of the first things that's overlooked, actually, because so often, I mean, maybe in a like a mission retreat or something, the company goes off and you talk about the mission, but a lot of times people are just coming on staff and leaving randomly, you know, and maybe that mission retreat is once a year, it's that. And so it's important as a boss to remember to tell the people that you work, who work for you, what your vision is. You have to convey it. And in a way where you show your own passion for the vision so that you also, you know, you want it to be contagious. Like your passion, the way you feel about it is going to be contagious. So to the extent that you can be passionate about it and communicate it often and in different language, it will help.
Vicki Oliver, our guest on This Week in America. Information at the website thisweekinamerica.us. You can link on directly to Vicki's website at VickiOliver.com. You talk about practicing principles of common decorum. Talk about that and why that's so important, and maybe you have to sort of alter your personality some to be an effective leader.
I think that's very true. You know, I mean, maybe I'm just going to give a case in point. Maybe you're a leader and you feel very introverted, and maybe you are used to keeping your door closed and you're used to doing your tasks sort of in silence, and now you are a leader of a team. Well, you have to tap in a little bit to being a people person, even if you don't really feel like one. And part of that is keeping your door open, being accessible if people have questions. People on your team might have questions. They want to reach you. Well, if your door's closed all the time, they don't feel comfortable coming in and asking you what they need to do. So, again, it's being accessible, available, and also, I would say, learning to delegate so that you don't feel like you have to do it all by yourself.
Well, it's interesting because you talk about micromanaging, and sometimes there's a tendency, okay, I'm now in charge. I need to make sure people do everything and do it my way. Talk
right.
about how you can sort of walk away from micromanaging and give up a little bit so your employees have some freedom to do their job.
Right. Your employees need to feel vested in the project, whatever the project is, and part of that is feeling like they have ownership over their little piece of the project. Now, if you're always lording over them and telling them how to do each little step, that makes them feel like automatons, robotic, like they're not contributing value to the process. So part of being a good leader and inspiring people is just sometimes learning how to back off and saying, you know, I wouldn't necessarily do it the way you're doing it. Try it your way. See if it works. If it doesn't, we can always do it my way later.
We've all heard that old adage, no risk, no reward. Talk about that and failure, because people will sometimes go out of their way and maybe not try something that they think might be successful for fear of being labeled a failure.
Right. So in the old model, you know, in the 50s and 60s, probably the 70s, a lot of employees were really frightened to fail, and that was the environment. You just had to prove yourself over and over and over again and never, ever, ever fail. But the problem with that model is that it doesn't allow the people who are working for you to stretch. If you do not permit failure, then they are not going to take the types of risks that you need them to take to achieve greatness. You know, you want the people who are working for you to strive. And if they strive, some of the time they will fail. And if you have the type of environment where you say, okay, you failed. Now pick yourself up and try again. That is so much more motivating than saying, you can't fail, you can't fail, you can't fail. Once in a blue moon, everybody fails, you know?
Yes.
And if you are a good leader, you will recognize that. And say, you know, take the risk and try to make us, you know, shine.
So often as a leader, you've got a course you want to take, and maybe you're a little hesitant, reluctant to jump in right away. And you think employees maybe sense that, okay, he's not really leading. He's waffling. We really don't know what he or she is doing. Talk about how you can be more authoritative, and even if you're wrong, that's not all that bad.
Right. People just really don't respect people who, leaders who seem on the fence, who are kind of wishy-washy, who just won't take a stand. They don't like that. It's better to take a stand and, again, be wrong than to just sort of sit on the sidelines. You know, particularly, I just want to say, I mean, these are general tips, but, for example, in a creative field, I used to be in advertising, you know, you need to be able, as a leader, to stand up for good work, right?
Yes.
You don't want to just be like, oh, it's okay, you know, it's sort of okay, let's see how the client feels. No, you should have an opinion of it and be able to push it.
Vicki Alivar, our guest on the program. The one book that I really would like to have you back and talk more in detail, Bad Bosses, Crazy Coworkers, and Other Office Idiots. You've got a chapter in there where I'm having trouble exerting my authority, and you've got some interesting, and it ties into the management, to the leadership that we're talking about in this program. And one problem that they deal with is they want to do it their way. And you talk about the generation gap, which I'm sure is occurring more and more now in the workplace. How do you get around that where, like, well, no, that's not how I did it, so I don't think that's how you should do it? How do you get over that where they want to do it their way?
I think part of it is learning, actually, what the people who are working for you feel about you. Like, some companies have feedback surveys where bosses can learn, like, really what the people who work for them think about them. And, you know, in a non-punitive way, right?
Yes.
And it's just important to be able to learn what your people feel about you so that you can be more effective. And part of it, really, honestly, a lot of times it is saying, you know what, the old way was the old way. Maybe we weren't as technologically savvy back then when we did it that way, you know?
Yes.
And I, as a leader, have to grow. I have to learn new tricks, you know? I have to depend on younger people sometimes to teach me how to do my job better, you know? But when you lean into it, you're a team. Some people have different strengths, you know? Some people have weaknesses. When you look at your whole team and lean into it, you become a better leader.
What happens, and this is one of the problems you talk about in the book, people see me in my old role, and I'm sure that happens often where Mary gets promoted and you think that's the old Mary and I have this certain relationship with her. And it's difficult possibly to make that transition for her from being one of the group to now I'm the leader of the group. What are some tips so you're able to adapt to that situation?
Right. And I think, you know, I think it's a very human. I think it happens all the time. And I think that if that is your situation, you were just promoted and now you have much more responsibility. Some people are going to accept it immediately and other people are not going to accept it immediately. Now, it can help, I think, first of all, to be flexible and realize that it's going to take people different rates of acceptance.
Yes.
Of your new position. Secondly, if it's a real problem in several months, maybe you need to go to your boss and, you know, explain to your boss that that person has to help you tell people that you are in charge now. Sometimes that can be, you know, the resistance. Like, you were promoted, but nobody knows about it, you know? You were promoted, but it wasn't announced, right? Things like that. Sometimes there are management glitches that happen that can hurt you. But, you know, start taking it in baby steps. Put the, you know, exert control where you can. Be flexible. And if you have to, you know, occasionally gently take someone inside and say, you know, actually, I'm in charge of this now. and tell them. But don't do it in front of other groups of people. Don't ream them out in public. You know, try to be flexible and easygoing. It will also just actually help your management style just to be flexible and easygoing.
Vicki Alaver, our guest, leading career development expert, best-selling author, number of best-selling books. You'll find them all at VickiAlaver.com, linked directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. A statistic that I read in the book Bad Bosses, Crazy Coworkers, and Other Office Idiots that I think applies probably to all of the books, everything that you do. We've got an attention span of about 7 seconds long. We really need to take that into mind when we're doing basically anything, don't we?
Yes, we do. You know, I wrote another book about job interviewing, and basically when somebody meets a new person, they make up their mind about that person in less than a minute, right?
Yes.
And so you just have to always keep that in mind, right? If you're meeting a new client, that person's made up his mind or her mind about you in 60 seconds or less. If a new employee works for you, they're making up their mind about you, you know, immediately. So we don't have a lot of time. You just need to really work on making a great first impression. You know, get your good ideas out of the box first. Just think of it as like a headline. Here's the headline. Here's the great idea, you know. To act like that and tell people what you're thinking, what's on your mind. Don't wait and wait and wait because people have already made up their minds, you know?
Exactly. Well, you think of people go into a job interview and they come out and they say, yeah, I really did a good job selling myself. I build up to, you know, my life and my story and really closed with this great thing. And I'm thinking about, they probably fell asleep. In your case, like after 8 seconds, they've
right.
pretty much tuned you out at that point.
Right. I mean, basically, it's, you know, really shocking, but basically by the time you walk, if you are looking for a job right now, by the time you walk off the elevator, shake the person's hand and walk down the hallway, that person has made up their mind about you. That's how fast it is.
That's amazing. Would love to have you back to talk about that. So many things that we can talk about, and we're talking about turning bosses into great leaders on the program today. I got about a minute or two left. I've seen people over the course of my career where they've been given the shot at a promotion and they've turned it down. They really don't see themselves in a leadership role. They feel quite happy and satisfied, fulfilled where they are. Do you see that happen? And is it good when that happens that you recognize, I think I'm going to be better off here?
This is funny that you mentioned this, because this actually happened to me very early in my career. They wanted to give me a promotion, and I didn't want to take it. Generally speaking, I think you should take the opportunities that are given to you.
Okay.
You know,
yes.
Let's say you're working someplace and somebody offers you a management role and you say, oh, well, I'm not really a manager. I don't want to do it. You should take it. Take it and learn how to become a manager. You know, don't walk away from great opportunities. Learn.
So I guess the secret to that is, okay, I need to define the skills for the new job. If you walk in with the skills that made you a great salesman, that's probably not going to wash, because you need skills that will make you a great leader. So you need to expand a little bit.
You need to expand. You need to grow. You know, if you truly hate it, if you take the job and you hate it after 2 years or a year, you know, you can go back and say, this isn't working for me, or you can get a different job someplace else. But I don't think it's a good idea to turn away opportunities.
Well, and I've seen many cases where that's happened, where suddenly 5 years later they're thinking, I'd like to give it a shot, and management is sort of like, you had your shot. We've got new people coming in that we're
right.
going to give the opportunity to. So I think oftentimes when you walk away, and that's your only opportunity. So much more to talk about on the program. Leading career development expert, best-selling author, Vicki Alaver, with us on the program. Vicki, it's been a pleasure. We'd love to have you back on the show. Information on
fantastic.
All of her books.
I would love to come back.
Yeah, so much more we can talk about. And you can find information on Vicki and all the books at VickiAlaver.com, and of course link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Thank you so much. Would love to have you back on the program. Great having you with us. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're listening to This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.